All right.
Back to Hebrews chapter 10. I guess if Sam was here, I'd say chapter number 10. Let's see what the Word of God says. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the good food, the good fellowship. I thank you, dear Lord, for the good Word of God. I pray, God, that you'd give us understanding. Lord, I pray that you'd open our hearts to receive thy Word this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 23 says this. Let's back up to 22 and get us a running start. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. And we didn't even touch on all that, but that's good. And our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Probably won't go real deep and real long, but I just want to say this, that if your faith, if your profession, there you go, if your profession lines up with this Bible, when trouble does come, when questions do arise, your faith won't waver. It just won't waver. Because your faith is settled in the Word of God. The Word of God supports you. It ain't so much about what, it ain't so much about your faith anyway. It's the faith that's been given to you. And so when questions do arise, when problems do stir, instead of wavering like we see so many people do, and one of my wife's favorite verses is a double-minded man. I don't know why all the negative verses about men's, women's favorite verses, but a double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways. They can remember every verse in the Bible, you women can, that has something to do with a man and his problems. Lord have mercy. But my wife can see, and that's good. I'm glad. I mean, all joking aside, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You see a man that's up one day and down the next, that's in one week and out the next, that's doubting one week and sure the next. Listen to me. Hey, if I was lost, if I was in doubt, if I had questions, if I had fears, I surely wouldn't want to have to set my eyes on a so-called Christian that was up one week and down the next, in one day and out the next. It was sure one day and doubt. I want to find me somebody, God bless your heart, that's got that thing settled. Amen. I want to find me somebody that has a faith that does not waver. I want to find me somebody, thank God, that understands Hebrews 10, 11 through 21 and what all Jesus done for them. And when hell does come their way in this old life, or the storms of life do land in their lap, I promise you, they stand strong in the Lord. Now, them's the people, amen, I want to set my eyes on, if I want to set my eyes on anybody. If I want to measure up, and I don't believe you should, I think we're to set our eyes on Jesus and measure up to Jesus and measure up to the Word of God. But if you're going to look at somebody, for goodness sakes, look at somebody that's living faithful, right? If you're going to, at least look at somebody that's got it. And if you know, my deal is if you are that person that wavers, hey, be honest. Have some truth on the inward parts and say, man, I don't know what I got. Don't stand up and say what you got and then be wavering tomorrow and expect the people in the church to see you wavering and ask them to have some stability in their life after they've been watching you, huh? You understand what I'm saying? Well, our profession ought to just line up with the Bible. Verse 24, he's going to go back and say, but he said, let us. The reason he said let us in verse 23 is the same reason he said let us in all them other verses. Because of what he's done. Verse 24, we can see it again. And let us. Because of what he done, let us. Let us do what? Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Boy, wouldn't it be something if we got busy doing that? provoking one another to do good. Provoking one another to do good works. Wouldn't that be something? You know, the Bible says, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, lest ye also be tempted. And that's what he's talking about, provoke that person. Instead of kicking that guy or kicking that girl or running your mouth about them or criticizing them or hurting them or hindering them, what we ought to do is restore them. And how do you restore them? You provoke them unto love. You provoke them unto good works. You encourage them to do right. I can remember the gentleman that I talk about down there in Florida. One time, just something the Lord put on me. And the gentleman I talked about down there in Florida that sold cars that would go off binging every 6 months and get all bent out of shape with the pastor because the pastor would give him some truths. I'll never forget one time I called him up and it's just something the Lord put on me. And I told him, I said, here, and he was out of sorts with God. But I told him, I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray for me. Man, I need you to pray for me. I need you to try to get a hold of God for me. Man, I'm going through some things and I just need some people to pray for me. And I felt like I ought to call you and ask you if you would just please pray for me. You say, what'd you do that for, to be a smart aleck? No, I was trying to provoke him to do something right. I was trying to encourage him, trying to help him get to God. Right. That's all I was wanting to do, trying to see him get to God. Plus, it wouldn't hurt me if he prayed for me, would it? Wouldn't hurt me. Didn't hurt me either way. But all I was trying to do is just provoke him. We're to provoke one another. Husbands were to provoke their wives. Wives were to provoke their husbands. Boy, no, hey, it don't stop right there. We do plenty of that provoking, but we were to provoke one another to love. How come y'all grin and laugh every time I say something like that? Y'all must be over there provoking. And the other provoking, Miss Holly, provoking one another to anger, huh? Provoking one another to anger. My wife provokes me to cuss. Told me today, she said, won't you just cuss? I said, amen. Lot's wife, Job's wife, excuse me, Job's wife, I'll cuss for you. Lord have mercy. No, I'm just kidding. Just cuss. Yeah, we need to provoke one another to love. Wouldn't that be something? I don't know how to do that, but Jesus does. And he'll help us. Man. And still today, I mean, all these years that, 2 or 3 years, I've been trying to live for Jesus. I'm still learning how to provoke people to love and provoke people to do good works. And man, I tell you, if you can do that, you'll be restoring people in the spirit of meekness. Right. That's how you do it. I'm telling you, that Bible connect, boy. Listen to what he said. He said, consider one another. Let us consider one another. What does that mean? I didn't say what does it mean to you. I mean, it just means what it means. You understand that word consider? I looked the word consider up and I got several different definitions, just plain definitions. I didn't look them up in the Greek. I just looked them up in a little Webster's dictionary. Anybody in the world can do it. And listen to what it says. To view attentively, to observe and examine. To observe and examine. A good example of this is in Leviticus chapter 13. If you'll look at Leviticus 13, you'll see the high priest and he was considering those with leprosy. In other words, man, they would come up in there and that high priest, he would examine them and look at them closely and see if there was any spot of leprosy in them, friend. He was examining. I'm telling you, every once in a while, we were to kind of just check each other out. Listen, I'll get somewhere. Not so we can judge each other. Not that we can tear each other down. Not that we can see some fault in somebody. But why should we do that? Why should we look on somebody else? Why should we examine other people to see what they might have need of? How about that? How about that, Mr. Ed, to consider one another? Look close. I mean, every once in a while, we like to look on the surface of people and say, oh, they're doing all right. Well, maybe they ain't. If you'd really examine them, maybe they need some help somewhere. Maybe they need something. Consider. Look real close. And then he said to attend or to relieve. To consider someone is to relieve someone. You know what the psalmist said in Psalm 41? Blessed is he that considereth the poor. Huh? I mean, man, you look at poor people and consider them. What does that mean? That means you want to try to be a blessing to them. You want to try to help them find some relief. Amen. You know, church, honest, before God, I was in a couple of so-called thriving churches, and I'm not trying to be critical, but I was in some so-called thriving churches, Michael, when I was a young married man. Still am young and still am married. But I don't have kids at the house. Miss Stephanie knows as well as I do, there was days we struggled, friend. I mean, we struggled. And I'm talking about a church with 200 or 300 people, 100, 200, 300 people. There were some good paid people in there. Miss Stephanie, me and you was struggling, friend. I'm just saying people don't consider one another anymore. I went to church, and I didn't go to church dragging my lip, and I didn't run around with a mullet grubs. But I got enough sense to know most young married people have hard times from time to time. Right. This whole world ain't set up for young married people. It's set up to take the mama out of the house if you're going to have two nickels to rub together. It's set up to take the mother out of the house, the daddy out of the house, and the children to some daycare somewhere. In order to do that, she needs to make much more than $10 an hour, because it ain't even worth it if she ain't. And it ain't worth it anyway. I'm just saying, Steve, very seldom did we ever have anybody to consider us. I mean, but we struggle. And thank God I'm not complaining, because the Lord taught us some great valuable lessons through that. Sure it did. To attend or relieve. And you say, what are we doing with Brother Herbert Williamson? We're trying to consider Brother Herbert. Here's an old man of God. And one of the things that I see today that makes me sicker than anything is the true preachers in America. I mean, how when they get old, they just get put out. It's amazing. I've seen it time and time again. I mean, these other cats, man, they can woo the crowds and make enough money. They don't need you when they get old. They got big bank accounts. They're well taken care of when they get old. But everybody's so concerned about sucking up to them and kissing their hind end. I'm telling you, they'll give till them till the day they die. But I've seen some of the true blues have to just go through and struggle and struggle and struggle. Man, I'm telling you, they get to the point, old Brother Pat. Brother Pat sitting back there, man, done everything or gave his life to the ministry. Picked up a few churches that would support him as an evangelist. Got old, got unhealthy, got to where he couldn't really hit the roads. Wrote them churches, said, listen, man, I'm not able to go out and preach. I mean, what he ought to do. He did what he's supposed to do. He wrote them churches, said, I ain't able to go out and minister like I ought to. I mean, my health won't allow me. If you want to stop supporting me, I completely understand. You know what them idiots did? They stopped supporting him. They should have doubled their support at that point. For God in heaven's sakes, man, he's hurting. And then they took the money and left him and his wife sitting in there living off their daughter in a little old back room. Say, man, what are you talking about? I'm talking about considering an old man of God up there that nobody cares about. Huh? Gave his life for people, and people's turned on him. Stabbed him in the back, lied on him, walked away from him, left him up there in an old leaking place somewhere. I want to consider people, you hear? I want to be a blessing to somebody. I want to look beyond. Hey, man, that man, he travels around the country and preaches. Yeah, and he does it for about nothing. Won't stay in a motel because he won't spend the money on a motel. Frugal, not tight. Just don't want to waste God's money. Says he can sleep in that car as good as he can sleep in a motel. If he does, he's going to go get a mangy one. One of them prostitute motels for about $10 a night. Consider people like that. That's all we try to do. To have regard. What does it mean to consider one another? To have regard, to respect one another. That's what Hebrews chapter 10 is talking about. Let us consider one another and provoke to love and to do good works. That's respecting one another. That's holding each other at high regards, man. Hey, listen, man, let's encourage each other in the Lord, right? I mean, listen, church, we're a small congregation. It's not the easiest thing to do in a large congregation. But if there's needs around here, lay them out on the table. Let's see if we can't meet each other's needs. Yeah. Huh? I ain't talking about being stupid, somebody going buying something way beyond their means. I mean, you know, everybody in here needs transportation. But that don't mean you got to go buy, try to finance a Ferrari. Don't bring the Ferrari bill around. But I'm telling you, if there's necessities in your life and you're struggling, hey, bring it out here, lay it on the table. We're a church family. We want to consider one another. I'm all for helping each other. I'm all for being self-sufficient. I think if the church would get back to being more self-sufficient, helping one another, we could stop depending on the government to take care of our poor people. Yeah. Nowadays, and the Bible's the one that commands us to take care of the poor, not the government. It ain't their job. But nowadays, that thing's got so perverted and backwards that when the church tries to take care of it, the government steps in and kicks us out. Government wants to have that. The church ain't trying to control nobody. Trying to manipulate. We just want to be a blessing. Want to consider each other. Have regard and respect for one another. Meet each other's needs. And man, I'm telling you, thank God for the church. Provoke each other. Just means what it says. We are to do whatever we can to provoke people to do right. We're to provoke whatever we can in people to help them do right. See somebody ain't doing right? Man, you're to do what you can to try to provoke them to do right. And sound like he was provoked just now to do right. Daddy provoked him. Y'all are too hard on these kids, I declare. Y'all shouldn't whip them about 15 times a day. Y'all, this 16, 17 whippings a day is just too much. Why don't I go around bad mouthing? Why don't we run each other down? Huh? Why don't we kick each other when we're down? Because we want to try to consider one another. That's right. That's right. I'll never forget. Eric, I was down there in Mississippi and I was pastoring, and man, I got to preach it on suffering with those that suffer. And I believe in it, buddy. I believe there's people in the churches, listen to me, I believe there's people in the churches that's got real needs. I said real needs. They've been trying to do right and they still got needs. I don't want to hear about your fancy vacations and your big cars and your nice wardrobe. I don't want to hear that junk. They've got some needs. I believe in suffering with those that suffer. And I got this old gal that showed up, and last night she was up in a topless bar dancing. I'm not kidding you. She'd come out of a topless bar, and one of the guys in the church, he went to see her and offered her $10 to put her top back on. I'm not joking. I'm telling you the truth. That's what they're sitting on the front porch of the church talking about. And here she come, and they called her train wreck. She's a topless dancer. They called her a train wreck. You want to know why? Because she literally got hit by a train one day. I mean, she was all crazy, man. She, you know, disfigured every which way. She's up there at a bar dancing. No wonder he offered her $10. That crazy looking junk. She come running. She said, "Preach, I'm so glad you preached on that." I said, "Is that right? Is that right, train wreck?" She said, "Yeah, my refrigerator went out yesterday. You think the church could buy me a new one?" No. I said, "I tell you what, train wreck." I said, "I'll ask the church what they think about it," because they were all family with her. And I said, we'll see what they say. And I wasn't passing her off. We'll see what they say. Listen, go out there and spend your money on booze and cigarettes and partying and dope. Sit around, smoke dope all the time. Don't bring it around me. Listen, quit wasting that stinking money if you want some help. Amen. Somebody can say amen. Amen. Listen, man, I told my kids, you sit around and buy dope and beer and stuff like that, don't expect daddy to be helping you. Did I tell them that? Sure did. Listen, I'm all for helping your kids, and man, you're to help your children, do what you can. But I'm telling you, them suckers going to sit around and waste their money on sin. I'm not taking the money God gave me and giving it to them. I'm just not doing it. But once in a while. I'll do it once in a while. Give them something every once in a while. I just got honest with you. It's easy for me to say stuff like that, church. Because I've never had to do it. It's easy for me to say. I've never had to do it. Whether my kids are living right or not, they don't come and hit us up for money. Thank God. They don't come and hit us up for money. But you know what? Honest, before God, Steve, if one of my children got locked up in jail, I'd probably be more than likely to go get them. I'd probably take some of my hard-earned money and go bail them out of the jail somewhere. I'm just being honest with you. I wouldn't. Well, I probably would. I probably wouldn't. And sometimes it don't even have to be mine. I might just try to help in somebody else's case. Verse 25. The reason I say that is because I've heard other preachers just go so stinky. Listen to me. I've heard other preachers go so stinking crazy with that stuff. And I mean, it's easy as Ty to sit here and just blister everybody for helping their kids when their kids ain't living for God. That's right. I've seen them do it, and I've adopted some of that same mentality. I didn't say it come from the Bible. I said I've heard other good preachers get up and just blast this kind of stuff. And at the same time that they're blasting it, they're buying their stinking little faggot acting youngins churches so they can play ungodly music and dress like a bunch of ungodly people and sit there and lust after each other. I'm just telling you, men with men and women with women, and yet they're supporting that and they're telling me and you not to give our kids money. Sick of it. I'm going to stick with this Bible. Amen. Whatever the Bible teaches me to do. That's right. I'm going to stick with the Bible. Some of these philosophies that I have come from other men, and I have to try to get over some of that stuff. But I do believe in trying to help those that's helping themselves. That's right. Believe in that. But I tell you what, it don't hurt me every once in a while to see an old prostitute on the street or an old junkie on the street. I should say a junkie on the street. And if they're begging for money, it don't hurt me a whole lot to give them a dollar. As long as I can say something to them about Jesus. I've never won any of them to God, Eric. I've never won one of those bums to God. But it did hurt to tell them about Jesus. It never has hurt to tell one of them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? You know what the Bible says? We are to consider one another. Boy, I've looked at them people a million times sitting over there holding them signs, and I've thought about the grace of God in my life. The difference between me and that guy right there is that the grace of God is active in my life. That's it. I sit down there in them prisons, man. I look at them little old convicts, and I thought, boy, the difference between me and these old cats right here is they got caught and I didn't. And then I thought about the grace of God being active in my life. Huh? It's a separator, buddy. I'm not any better. I'm not any different. I'm the same person that they are. They're the same as I am. It's just the grace of God is more active in my life. I've received that grace for grace. God help us to consider one another. That's a good word. That's a good word. I told you one of the saddest things I've seen in a long time was that little girl over on Academy Street. Walking out there in the street, didn't even know where she was. Just out in the street. Traffic was going up and down the road, and she was standing out there in the traffic with her hand out, dirty white t-shirt, blue jeans, three times too big for her. And she just out there with her hand out, stopping cars, walking in the middle of the road, right in the middle of the lane. You remember that? My heart broke, and I thought, that's somebody's daughter. Huh? Could be my son. Could be my son. What, too good to help her? I sure wasn't going to put my arm around her and pray for her, but son, I tell you, it wasn't going to hurt to give her a dollar and tell her about Jesus. I promise you that. I know she's going to probably take it and waste it on some dope. I know that. Give me an opportunity to tell her something about the Lord Jesus Christ. It'd be worth it, son. I'll tell you that. Tell her about Jesus. Amen. Just tell her something about Jesus. Verse 25. I'll go on. I'm done. Look at what else he said. Because of what all I've done for you, how about doing this? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Well, some people will forsake that so fast it'll make you hiss. Isn't it amazing the first thing people give out on or dig in on is the things of God? sometimes in people's lives, the first thing people get mad at is the things of God. The first thing in an argument people will attack is the things of God. That's because they ain't got a clue about Hebrews chapter number 10. What Jesus has done don't mean any more to them than the man in the moon does. And I tell you, it's the easiest thing in the world for them to start attacking the people of God, the things of God. All that. Just come up against it. Why is that always the first thing pops in your mind? Forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. There it is. And so much the more. Boy, I tell you, in this day we're living in, we need to get after that. So much the more as you see the day approaching. I tell you, the closer we get to the coming of Christ, the worse it gets on this whole thing. And I tell you, we need to exhort one another. That's right. We need to encourage one another. That's right. I don't know how to say it, but boy, I'm telling you, if you got to reprove somebody, just do it with a lot of love, huh? Do it with a heart of love and just try to tell them the truth. And pray to God they, you know, ain't one of these little freaks that's going to get all bent out of shape because you told them the truth. Thank God for a congregation that can take the truth. Amen. All right. Well, that's it. Consider one another. Why would I consider you? Because of what he did for me. Everything in here, let us. Only reason he said that is because of what he done for us. And because he did it, we should do what he commanded from us. It's good. It's real good. All right. Well, it's been requested. Mama asked if we would anoint her with oil and pray over her. And I certainly will. Let me read that to you. Okay?